Next on BYUSN, T-minus 2 days until tip-off in Denver. What does BYU need to do in the NCAA tournament to validate the season? And how far do we think BYU could actually go? ESPN's Sean Farnham joins us to share his thoughts on BYU's seeding and matchup with VCU. Does he like BYU's potential path to the Sweet 16? What are BYU's best wins in the NCAA tournament? We'll count them down in Top 5 Tuesday. And the DMR National Champions are in the house to celebrate back-to-back natties. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, March 18th. I am Jerem Jordan. Spencer Linton will join us in just a moment. You remember a few weeks ago when we talked about how there was this old BYU plate, BYU National Champions out there that Tyler Southard found in a thrift store? We saw this on X. Sicko's committee helped blow it up. That plate was found for $1 in Huntsville, Alabama. So Tyler posted he was willing to sell the plate. He's not a BYU fan. If there's any BYU fan or college football sicko who wants it, pay for the shipping and it's yours. Well, of course, our producer Colton Potter reached out, paid $15, basically $14 for shipping and the dollar. And look who owns said plate now. Huh? Not bad. Colton Potter doing work. Say thanks to Tyler for selling it. So this is going on set. Let's put this on the set. We got a nice little holder here. We'll put it right here. You'll see it over Spencer's shoulder on the wide shot there. Very nice. I feel like my grandma Deanne would have had this in Orem, Utah, and could have eaten a delicious meal off that. You know, hopefully BYU is feasting this week in the NCAA tournament. So great stuff from Colt for getting that. Thanks to Tyler, and we've got the plate. It's awesome. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
BYU is a 6th seed. They are taking on the 11th seed VCU in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
We feel like we're battle tested. The confidence that our guys have been playing with is something that we'll rely on.
Just engage in the combat zone early and then let BYU cook in the second half like they have.
What's Trending is presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Here we go. It's March, baby. It's NCAA tournament time coming up Thursday. First season under Kevin Young has been a resounding success. How about BYU currently ranked number 17th in the AP poll, finished tied for third in the Big 12, 14-6 in that league, got to the semifinals of the conference tournament. BYU has won 9 of 10 entering March Madness. They are hot still. What does BYU need to do in the NCAA tournament, however, to validate the season so far? That's the question we are talking about today. That is our question of the day. We'll get to your responses in a moment. My initial thought on this is that BYU's season has been awesome to this point. Do they need validation in the tourney? Yes, they still need it. Like, if BYU gets to this NCAA tournament and does not win at least one game, it doesn't undo anything that BYU did before, per se, but they need to add to it. Like, this team is prepared and done that for this. Seasons are not defined by regular seasons for BYU. They're defined by postseason play. And we talk lovingly and emotionally and excitedly about 1981, Elite Eight, Danny Ainge and the boys. 2011, Sweet 16, Jimmer Fredette. And then the others, there have been a handful of others that have won first-round games, but it's not that many, right? It's tough. BYU has had a great season. Not good, great. But they do need at least one win. They've got to beat VCU. They have to better what last year's team did. Last year's team was very good, too. Tied for fifth in the Big 12 and surprised everybody in year one in that league. They did not win that first-round game. That was a disappointment, even for that team. Imagine this team. I'm not going to. I'm not going to have that invasive thought of BYU losing to VCU. I believe BYU is going to the Sweet 16. So they do need to win. It's one of the best BYU teams ever. You think about, nobody's been battle-tested in BYU history like this team. They had to play a tougher schedule than everybody else in BYU basketball history. 8 quad one wins, 15 quad one games, 22 of BYU's 30 D1 games were quad one and two. The wins at Arizona and Iowa State are all time. Neutral side against Iowa State in the tourney, fantastic. 34-point win against Kansas, amazing. Baylor's win at home, which, by the way, Baylor 30 on Selection Sunday. So that was a quad one win on the last spot of a home game net spot, which is amazing at 30. So it's nice that this team has been unbelievable. They cannot lose in the first round. and us talk about them as one of the great teams of all time, because you have to win in the postseason. They're one of the greatest regular season teams of all time, but I'm not sure that even matters. Who cares? You have to win in the postseason. Spencer, what say ye about what BYU has to do in the NCAA tournament to validate the season?
Well, again, they've been checking boxes all season long, and the next box to check is win a game in the NCAA tournament, because if BYU doesn't, then to your point, what is it all for? What did they go through all of this for if they cannot pay it off at the very end? You and I love movies. We love going to movies. How do you feel if the ending of the movie stinks? Like, it almost spoils everything else that was great in the movie. I know it's an unfair standard in a way, and I don't want to take anything away or diminish what BYU has done in the regular season, but everybody wants a good ending to this movie. They've been calling their basketball team and everything they've done this year cinema. Okay, well, if it's cinema, then let's put together a good finish at the end of the movie. And I think this team will do that. The question then is, how many games do they have to win to validate said season? There are those of you out there that are like, no, this team, if they go to the Sweet 16, then it's a disappointment. I am not there. I am in the camp of just get to the round of 32 for the first time since Jimmer Fredette played at BYU. We're 14 years out.
That's the minimum. But I also want to talk about the maximum in a moment. One win almost doesn't feel enough, though. Even though one win would be great for the reasons you just outlined. But one doesn't feel enough. I feel like BYU, like this team and what they've done, they need to punctuate it with the Sweet 16 and be like, yep, we were that good. And look what we did in the postseason. Seasons are defined by what you do in the NCAAs. Frankly, I don't even care about the NITs. Like, I like that BYU won in 51 and 66 and has been to the Final Four of the NIT. Like, now there's the crown in Vegas and the NIT is minimized. Like, who cares? There's too many resources put into BYU basketball to expect anything but getting to the NCAA tournament. And when you go to now win, what's the point of winning all these road games and quad one games and
becoming battle-tested?
What's the point of it if you don't win one game against the A-10 champs? You can do it. BYU's going to do it on Thursday afternoon.
Here's the other thing about BYU and the trend that they've been on lately in the NCAA tournament. It's not like they're going in as a 10-12 seed.
Yes.
Or 14 seed that they were in 2012 when they played a first four game and won.
They're what, 3.5-point favorite, I think, right now?
Yeah, they're a 6 seed for the third consecutive NCAA tournament. They are a favorite for the third straight time they have been to this tournament. Now it's time to pay it off and show up and play like a top 25 team. Heck, a top 17 team, according to the AP poll. We thought BYU deserved maybe a 5 seed. A lot of people felt like, well, because it's BYU, they clearly, like, the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee doesn't want to do them any favors. I think BYU was given a fair shake in the 6 seed line. Now it's time to pay it off as the favorite.
If BYU had played a little tougher non-conference, I think they get to a 5.
Yes.
I think they get to a 5.
Yes.
Assuming you win another game or two.
Their non-conference was what, 3-14 or something like that?
It was not good. Kevin Young admitted, hey, that's something I've learned. We've got to play a tougher non-conference. They will. They're opening with Villanova next year. They're playing in Orlando
immediately
in a good tournament. Yeah, yes. It already is.
But again, I know that over the course of 14 years of not winning a first-round game, BYU has more often than not been a 6 seed, but the last 3 times they have been.
Yeah, this is a favorable situation. And in 1981, they were a 6 seed, and it wasn't a problem. They were 3rd in the WAC. You know who was 3rd in the Big 12 this year? Brigham Young. Let's go. Let's do it again. Let's
BYU
do it again.
Has become a very popular pick, as you were talking about, to get to the Sweet 16 and beyond. So you've already said that you believe that BYU
yes.
can and should.
Not that they can. They will.
They will.
I believe they
get
will.
To a Sweet 16.
They can go to the Final Four.
How do you feel about the idea of some notable college basketball experts picking BYU to get to an Elite Eight? They are a trendy pick
yes.
to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. They
yep.
would have been a trendy pick to do the same back in 2019, 2020.
Yep.
Frankly, Jerem, last year, BYU was a little bit of a trendy pick to win their first round game against Duquesne and get past Illinois and get to a Sweet 16. So
Illinois
why is
tough.
It different this year compared to last year or even back in 21 when BYU opened up with UCLA, who unfortunately went on a heater to the Final Four?
Yeah, they had 2 NBA guys in the backcourt. Jaime Jaquez, Johnny Juzang. Those guys are good. Why is it different this year? I think because BYU's shown that they're a tougher team. Last year, BYU didn't have the win at Kansas was awesome, but Kansas was not in the same sort of metrical sphere that Arizona and Iowa State are. Like, though, and you did it twice. Like, one amazing road win. Awesome. Don't get me wrong. You do it twice, now that's like a trend. Now that's a streak.
BYU had a winning record in the Big 12 on the road.
Incredible.
6-4.
And the fact that they go up in the standings, they get to the semifinal. Like, BYU has built off what they did last year, even though it's a new staff. Like, they're not looking at the last group saying, well, let's keep it going. They're doing their own thing. I mean, we look at it like we're stacking here, and Kevin Young says, hey, we're stacking days. They want it to go up and up, and you bring in A.J. DeMonte. You feel like you want to go even higher, which wait till you hear what his expectations are for the NCAA tournament next year when he's on the team. He has high expectations, which I appreciate. So that's why I think it's a little different this year. Last year, we were like, yeah, you need to win. But frankly, the standard here isn't to win in the NCAA tournament. I want us to feel like it is. And I think this year we feel like, nope, you have to win, as opposed to being there is great. If we win, that's awesome too. You always want to win. But I mean, like, what you actually expect in your heart of hearts. We expect BYU to win this game.
And I think we should. We should. Every other expert expects BYU.
Why wouldn't we? Because it brings us to our next question.
Yes.
What role does history in the NCAA tournament for Brigham Young play into your expectations for this season?
Because BYU has been unable to pay off some solid seasons, there is PTSD for fans. It's like, oh, I don't know, they're a six seed again. And we documented yesterday, the six seed in the last 10 tournaments that the NCAA has put together has a losing combined record.
It's the new 5-12.
The 11 seed has a winning record over 10 years against the six seed.
That's wild.
Well, what do you know?
Look at these numbers. Like, what? Average seed, almost a 9, the record?
Last 30 years. That was what I was saying earlier. BYU's seed hasn't been ideal combined over the last 30 years. But in the last 3 tournament trips, you've been a 6 seed. It's time to show up and play like a top 25 team. We believe they will. We've been saying this team is different.
Yep.
They're not a one-trick pony. They get punched in the mouth early and they're down early. It's not over.
Unless it's Houston, because that was a different thing.
Houston's a bad matchup for every team in the country.
I would say, but everybody else, yes. Okay, a couple things here. 32nd appearance for BYU. That's top 25 in NCAA history. BYU goes to the tourney a lot.
Yes.
I believe they still have the most tourneys without a Final Four, which I hate that stat.
Yeah.
I also like that BYU makes the tourney. I'd rather make the tourney than not. Don't get me wrong. St. Mary's isn't in that stat, because they don't make the tourney as much, right? Historically, 2-11 in the first round since 93.
2-11.
2010 and 2011, BYU won the first round games. That's tough. But the history thing is only for fans. Kevin Young and staff don't care.
They have nothing
to do with. Or even know. You think Tim Fanning knows these stats? They don't matter to him.
They have nothing to do with what BYU has done or not done.
That's right. BYU's in the Big 12 now. It's different. Well, it was different last year. Okay, BYU hopefully learned from that situation. Playing the A-10 champs again. They played more physical games this year. They've won in more different ways. They have more physicality on this team than they did last year. In one person, frankly, Cabe Akeda. Cabe Akeda makes BYU more physical than they were last year, just by himself.
Without question. The guys that do matter that were in last year's game are back, and we're banking on the idea that they have learned and that they're going to use this as motivation to fuel the fire. Specifically, Richie Saunders, Dallin Hall, Foose Traore, Trevin Nell, they all
I know Dawson didn't play last year. He was on the team, though.
He was around.
Yes.
He knows what it was like.
Yes.
These guys know what that feeling was like last year and what it takes to show up and be mentally ready and physically engaged in what undoubtedly is going to be a game plan just like Duquesne had last year for VCU. Which is BYU does not want to be pushed around. Go out, be super physical, test the whistles of the officiating crew, see how much we can get away with, and see if BYU can counteract that. We believe that BYU, because of the physicality that they are used to playing in, on the road, with Cabe Akeda in the mix, is ready for the challenge this year. If I am on the staff, and clearly we are not.
Wait, we're not? I thought we were. This is news to me.
My conversation would absolutely start with, physical play. just be super aggressive. Often at the halftime speech, we hear, well, we got to get downhill. We got to attack the rim. BYU sometimes kind of feels it out. And then after halftime, they get downhill and they get super aggressive. I'd start that way. Start that way.
And honestly, when we watch the game Thursday, let's all do this. How many times does a ball handler for BYU get into the paint with 2 feet? Not a one-foot thing. Like, 2 feet are in the paint. That will tell you that BYU is getting downhill enough. You can quantify
that. That's where I would start that.
Yes, because then it's either a lob to Kaba, a layup for that player, or it's a kick to a three-point shooter. If BYU cannot get into the paint very much, they will be in trouble.
Our question of the day.
But they won't be in trouble. It's going to be all good.
What does BYU need to do in the NCAA tournament to validate their season? The minimum threshold for you is win one game.
Got to win one.
I feel like one win, because it's been so long, and maybe I'm part of that throng of feeling some PTSD of just get to Saturday. Just get there. Just give the fans the opportunity. I was talking with a group of my friends yesterday about the opportunity to just sit back on Friday and watch games and be like, my team's still in it.
It's been a minute.
Oh, your team lost. I'm sorry. My team's still in it.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. I want that feeling. I want to watch Friday's games and be like, yeah, we're good.
By the way, we did something at my house that we've never done with the NCAA tournament. So downstairs on a wall, we got out like the painter's tape. We made the bracket on the wall. It was awesome. It was super fun. My kids are into it now. Tate, by the way, picked St. Peter's to go to the national championship game a couple years ago.
Yes, so
loves St. Peter's.
I talked to my family about that last night. Listen, our family home evening activity was filling out brackets.
Nice!
And we discussed St.
Mine was
Peter's.
Calling the volleyball game.
We discussed St. Peter's, okay? My daughter, Sailor, picked Baylor all the way to the championship. Why? Because it rhymes with her name.
Let's go Bears, Sailor, and Baylor. I like that. That's great.
She picked him to lose to BYU, okay?
Good.
I think. Yeah, anyway.
In the final four?
Yeah.
Is that
right,
when they meet up?
That's
something
right.
Like that?
Yes.
I love it.
Oh,
the bracket's so, like, this is fun. It's a fun time to engage with your friends and your family, right?
How do you validate it? I just want to sit back on Friday knowing that BYU won their Thursday game.
And knowing that you're going to fly to Denver and hang out with us.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yes, this is true.
From Dallas. From Dallas.
From Dallas. Finish up football coverage and fly to Denver.
No, I need you to party with me Saturday.
I need the Cougs to win.
Let's go.
For that flight from Dallas to Denver.
Let's go.
How do you feel like BYU can validate their season? I say one win. Jaren wants a Sweet 16, but the minimum threshold is one win.
Yeah.
At Tracker BYU on X Answers, just like football, this is a case where expectations were reset and raised by the team's play. Now, at a minimum, we want to see a Sweet 16 run. At a minimum.
I said that history shouldn't play into this. It does for me. It shouldn't for the staff, but it does for me. Where
yes.
I'm like, I can't expect a Sweet 16. Expect?
It's happened twice, and both times BYU's had the national player of the year.
Yeah. Okay. It's crazy. BYU stays steady at number 17 in this week's AP poll. Were you surprised they didn't at least move up a spot?
A little bit, because they beat Iowa State and because they got so much national traction.
Yeah.
But maybe because they got blown out by Houston again, then it evened it out.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe.
I thought they would jump up at least one spot and be in the top 16. Yeah. I don't think it really matters. But interestingly enough, BYU does finish one spot higher than Mark Pope's Kentucky Wildcats.
Well,
you can take from that what you will.
Ain't that a thing? I don't care about the AP poll once Selection Sunday comes out. St. Mary's 20, Arizona 21, Iowa State 15, by the way. Keyshawn Gilbert not playing in the tourney. So, I don't know if the committee knew about that injury because it was after, like, November. But that's a joke.
Yeah,
with,
Well, is West Virginia even good? I don't know. 5 quad one wins after their best player went out.
I hope West Virginia wins the crown in Vegas now. I really do. Like, I'm all in on them, and my sister lives there.
The crown.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Hey, people, who cares now?
We don't care, but it is fun for BYU fans to be able to point at number 17 and then see Kentucky once.
I'm telling you. April of last year, we would not have thought that happened. Pretty good.
Kentucky did get a 3 seed.
Their strength of schedule was tougher.
Indeed. They also beat Duke.
Twice as many NCAA tournament teams in the SEC as the Big 12. Twice. Wow.
Okay.
Hey, 6 seed men's hoops plays the 11 seed VCU in the game of the century. We need BYU to win this. Let's go. First round of the NCAA tournament. Live coverage from Denver starting tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be in Ball Arena. Not outside, because it's going to be cold Thursday and Friday for those shows.
Yes, please.
But sign me up. I'm there. Cold, hot, whatever.
After the break, ESPN's Sean Farnham is back on the program.
Back,
what
baby.
Are his expectations for BYU, and how does he believe the Cougars can validate this season? Does he think it takes more than one win in the tourney? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
12, and I'm excited to play against a really good VCU team. This year just feels different. But yeah, you know, they're a completely different team.
Don't know a ton about them. Big John Linehan coached in that league last year.
And I heard they're really good at defense, so it's going to be a great matchup.
Playing for, you know, everything. They're just continuing trying to make simple plays.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan joining us now to preview BYU's run in the NCAA tournament, beginning with a game against VCU, and that 6-11 matchup is ESPN's Sean Farnham, who, frankly, we need to commend. Sean, you were an absolute warrior over the last week plus, battling through a voice that was not doing you many favors. You're slamming honey during timeouts, continuing to bring A-level coverage.
Yeah, it was good.
Well done, brother.
Good,
well
nice
done.
Job. Nice job, man.
You are
Thank
the
you
man.
Very much. Oh, my hair looks awful. Let's go ahead and put that back on. You know what? It was a crazy week. Like, I think we talked about it last week. I was going to do 10 games in 6 days, five halftime fill shows like that go between the games. It was a lot. And my voice started going when I was in Vegas. So I went to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. I got an emergency appointment with an ear, nose, and throat doctor who literally scoped my nose, made sure that my vocal cords weren't like getting damaged, and then took a steroid injection and gave it to me. Said it was going to help my voice.
Look at you.
You had a steroid injection so that you could talk on TV. These are the lengths that you're going to.
Sean Farnham's on steroids.
Then gets even better. So I go to the WCC final, and one of the things that they said that helps with the inflammation within your esophagus and throat region is hydration. And so the WCC was like, you want an IV? And I was like, sure. And so they brought their EMT in, hooked me up to a bag.
Another needle.
And took it. So I'm like, take another IV? Like, let's go. I think it all helped. The best part about it has been the honey. The honey by far has been the best part. If you've not gone to my Instagram page.
Yes, hilarious.
And seen the post. I didn't know they were recording me when I was taking the shots of the honey. But I was taking honey shots to coat my throat before I came on air today. Hopefully, like, annoy every single person in public. Lo and behold, your boy might have an NIL deal. Let's go.
Hey, let's
you
go.
Got
yeah.
Honey.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Who's in the next episode of Winnie the Pooh on Disney Plus? Your boy, Sean Farnham. Let's talk about BYU getting VCU. What'd you think of the seed of six, the matchup with VCU, and obviously playing in Denver is pretty good for the Cougs?
I think playing in Denver is huge. I think the altitude is huge. I think all of those things are important in this matchup because this is a really good VCU team, guys. Like, I think if we were going to look at the tournament overall, I think that, and I was interested to see how they were going to seed. I don't think they did a great job. I'm just, overall, I think there was some pretty big misses.
Yes.
By the selection committee. And, you know, maybe the most glaring actually would be Louisville. And I'll get this back to where we're going here. I promise. I listened to your question. I'm going to answer it. But I think that, you know, it's really hard for me to process that North Carolina gets in the field with one quad one win, which means that therefore you must respect the ACC more than other people have. And yet Louisville, who played in the ACC championship game, who beat Clemson twice during the course of the regular season, gets an 8 seed. Like, that doesn't make sense. And, oh, by the way, it's also not fair to Auburn. Like, Auburn's the number one overall seed and has the most difficult 8 seed probably in the entire bracket. And I thought Louisville should have been up on like a five or six line, honestly, 27-7. Net ranking would indicate that they should be in that region.
Yeah.
Very shocking that they weren't. So with that being said, I thought BYU got a very good seed. I thought it was a fair seed for BYU. Now, the problem is you're taking on a team in VCU that's number one in offensive efficiency in the A-10. They're number one in defensive efficiency in the A-10. They defend the three-point line almost as well as anybody in the country, holding to opponents about 30% from deep. This is a really good team for Ryan Odom that has played like an NCAA tournament team for a very long period of time. Now, they are not as nearly battle-tested as BYU has been over the course of the season with the gauntlet that they've gone through inside the Big 12. But this is a team that, had they been playing somebody else, I would say they're a potential team that can make a Sweet 16, even from the seed line that they're at. Like, I think when you look at your bracket and you look at double-digit seeds, and this is not a BYU Sports Nation take here, okay? This is a reality. There's very few double-digit seeds that I think are good enough to win multiple games in this NCAA tournament. I think Drake has the potential to do it. They've got Missouri in their first-round game. And I think VCU has a chance to do it as well. I think when you look at what makes this team work, how they score their points, the balance in which they play with, how they share the ball, there's a lot of similarities between them and BYU. They average about over nine made threes per game, but they defend the three-point line really, really well and hold their opponents to not having success from deep. Their two-point field goal percentage is fourth best in the entire country. In the entire country. So this is a team that's going to be dialed in, that's going to have a game plan, that's going to be very execute-oriented, and is your typical dangerous double-digit seed.
Sean Farnham of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, let's take a look at where BYU may have an advantage against VCU. You talked about what the Rams do well and BYU's going to have their hands full with. So on the court, along with playing at elevation, Sean, where does BYU have a schematic advantage?
I think it's pace. I think it's pace of play, how they're able to impose their will when they're doing things right. I mean, this isn't a slow VCU team. This is a team that averages about 76 points per game. They also create a lot of their offense based off of turnovers. They do a really good job, in particular, of opponents over at about 11% of their possessions. So BYU is going to have to do a really good job of holding on to the ball and making sure that they're not loose with it. But I do think what BYU does so well when they do what they do well is obviously corner threes is very important. We heard Fran Fraschilla talk about that a lot in the Big 12 tournament. But it's what we've all talked about all season long, is they do a great job of sprinting to the corners, flattening out that defense, and then playing off of it. I think rebounding from the guard position is going to be very important in this game. And I think that's an advantage for BYU. When BYU's guards have rebounded the ball really well and have matched the physicality of their opponent, they've had success.
He is Sean Farnham. He loves organic raw honey.
Nate's organic raw honey.
Specifically Nate's and Nathan's hot dogs. They're not connected. I don't know what's going on. What does BYU need to do to validate its season in the NCAA tournament? We were talking about, like, history. There's some PTSD. BYU's not been great without Jimmer Fredette, essentially, in the last long 20, 30 years in the NCAA tournament. Is one win enough to validate this team, or do they need a Sweet 16?
No, I think one win's enough. I think year one under Kevin Young, I think there's a lot already that if you're a fan, you're like, you're really super excited about, and you should be. And I don't think that you can just – the NCAA tournament – listen, and my perspective on this is different, right? Like, I lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament as the higher seed. Like, we had a backcourt of Baron Davis and Earl Watson, and we talk about March is about guards. Well, those are two guards that played combined 25 years in the NBA and had multiple all-star appearances, and we lost to Detroit Mercy in the first round. Detroit Mercy was not a better team than my team that lost my junior year. And by the way, St. Peter's wasn't better than Purdue. They weren't better than Kentucky. They were better that night. That's what makes the NCAA tournament so magical. You have to rise up to the challenge that is in front of you when you are faced with that challenge for 40 minutes. Now, does that diminish the overall whole entirety of the season if you get a first-round bump? I don't think it should. I know how fans react. But it, also being in it, I'll just tell you that, like, that loss stings to this day. So trust me, if things don't go right, and you lose in the first round of the tournament, nobody is going to feel worse than the guys that are wearing the jersey. I promise you that. It will haunt them for the rest of their lives. Period. I get like PTSD every time Selection Sunday shows up, still to this day. Never mind the fact that I played in an Elite Eight and two other Sweet 16s. It's that loss in the first round of the tournament that just absolutely jabs at me every single opening day of the NCAA tournament on Thursday and Friday, and even on Selection Sunday, looking there going, oh my gosh, imagine this team if they lose in the first round. Oh, that'll be bad. So with that being said, I understand the fans and what the desire is. I think BYU is good enough to win the opening round of their NCAA tournament. And if they win the opening round of their NCAA tournament, I think you're going to be feeling really good about what this team accomplished. I think when you look at the second round matchup against Wisconsin, potentially, I think that's another game that, should they win the first round game, I think they have a chance to get to the Sweet 16. Now, John Tonji is unbelievably efficient. He's an electric scorer. This is not Wisconsin from the Bo Ryan era that was playing in the 50s, even though that's what they scored against Michigan in the Big Ten championship game. This is a team that has scored more points per game than any Wisconsin team since the 70s. So that's a long time. That was even before I was born, and I'm old. So I think that the matchups are pretty favorable, but I'm also one of those that, let's see how it plays out game one. And you start with game one mentality. You cannot be looking ahead. You cannot be thinking ahead. I will tell you, you know, I had a conversation with a couple of your players after the Houston game. And you guys haven't asked me about the Houston game. If you want to, you can. Otherwise, I might just go into story time with Sean, and you guys can just sit back, and I'll just railroad this entire segment.
Do it.
So you guys call. But in the tunnel, Dallin Hall, Yegor Demon, and then Trevin Nell were standing there, and I walked up to them after the game was over. They were being great. They were signing autographs for some kids that were there. And I pulled Trevin aside and I told Trevin, I said, you know, that can't happen again. Like, you guys can't get punked the way that you got punked. And I said, you guys couldn't have been surprised by the physicality. You played them already once. You knew what they were going to do. And yet, they got pushed on their heels really, really quickly in that game. And it took them a while to try to respond. But if you take out that first, you know, what, 7.5 minutes before they actually made their first field goal, and you play the rest of the game, it was pretty even all the way through. And if you come out in the NCAA tournament, and every team that's going to play them is going to look at and see that film and go, okay, how can we be that disruptive? Can we turn up our defense and get into them and make them uncomfortable and get them playing passive or get them on their heels and not being as assertive? And you have to be the one that punches first. Like, you know, Mike Tyson saying, everybody's got a plan until they get hit. You got to be the first one to get the hit. And in the NCAA tournament, you have to do that. And this team is too good, too talented not to come out with that mindset. And it was a really good conversation. And then Yegor came over and we were talking. I think this team's mindset, I will tell you, after the Houston loss, immediately after it, I loved where Trevin was at. Like, Trevin, there was no like, oh my gosh, the world is falling because, you know, we got punched today by Houston. He was really focused and really positive about what this team was about to go do. And I think that voice and that stability is going to be really important between Selection Sunday and now. So much of what happens, and I will just tell you from my own perspective, you come up and you see the name pop up, you get excited. Then you find out who you're playing. You're like, okay. Then immediately you go into, what are the steps necessary to be ready to go? So there's a recovery aspect because you just went through your conference tournament. There's a mental aspect, learning who you're playing, respecting them, understanding their personnel, then understanding team concepts next. Like, I think getting personnel down first, like, this is who they are, this is who their players are, then this is who their team is, and this is how their team will look to attack us, and this is how we have to attack them. And then back to who you are as an individual team. Listen, we now know who they are, but they've got to stop us. And that's kind of the process of a team that gets ready for that opening round game. And I think that a lot of that isn't from the coaching staff at this time of year. It's not from Kevin. It's not from his staff. It's from within the locker room. Who are the guys that are able to pull on those strings and those ropes and pull them in tight and go, hey, it's us. No outside noise, no outside distractions, no talk of NBA draft status, no talk of who's coming in next year, no talk about what happened last week, because none of that matters now. You're 0-0. Everybody in this tournament is 0-0. After day one, 50% of this bracket will be gone. They'll go home. After the second round games, another 50% is gone and you're down to 16. It goes fast. And if you're not prepared and if you're not locked in together, that's when you can get disrupted. And I think that this team is going to be ready. I would be shocked if this team doesn't come out and play very well in their opening round game.
What a take from Sean Farnham. This motivational moment brought to you by Nate's Organic Honey. Incredible! Sean, that was awesome. We appreciate the insight. Love the story that you shared with Trevin Nell and others talking to them after the Houston game. We are with you. We believe that this team is mentally prepared and strong. Cannot wait to see what they actually do when they hit the floor in Denver. Best of luck to you this week as you're busy.
I do have one question, though.
Okay.
I do have one question. You know, like, Jerem knows this. Like, I saw him a couple times, and I ran up into the stands one time.
Literally, ran up. I was like, hey, Sean, what's up?
Why is it that so many BYU fans came up to me while I was in Kansas City and were like, love seeing you on Sports Nation? You know, one thing that you've stopped doing is giving Jerem a really difficult time. We really like when you give Jerem a difficult time. Why is it, Jerem, that there are so many people that watch this show that want me to take shots at
you? I got an NIL deal with you to not.
I know. Like, I thought we were in a good spot. And then, like, I just felt like Kansas City. I thought so.
I feel great now.
I wanted to do the food segment with you. I know.
You were trying to save your voice.
My voice was just like, no. But then all the BYU fans were like, hey, take shots at him. I'm like, I can't. He's too good looking. He's too talented.
You know,
I said, the only shots I'm taking this week
is true.
Are Nate's honey.
Yeah. I love up the payment.
Up the honey.
Yes. Sean, congratulations on your great success and your great coverage and for enduring a 1-for-31 3-point combined shooting performance between Gonzaga and St. Mary's. Story for another day.
I'll take my hat off on that and go like, what was that? Oh, my goodness.
Thanks, Sean.
Good stuff, Sean.
You guys are the best. Have a good rest of your show. I wrote it enough. Goodbye.
You too. Appreciate it. Sean Farnham on BYU Sports Nation. You know what this means, right?
What?
The shots are forthcoming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's coming back.
As you've seen with Dennis, I'll get shots up too.
It's coming back.
That's never been a problem for me as a basketball player. BYU Sports Nation will not only have live coverage from the NCAA tournament in Denver, your boy Spencer Linton live from Big 12 Football Pro Days in Frisco, Texas at the Star. For the first time in show history, we'll be live in two different locations, not in Provo.
Let's just hope we can fly out today.
Yeah, it's looking weird.
Goodness. Still on the way, Kalani Sitake of BYU Football gives an update on the Cougars' scrimmage yesterday, plus what one VCU assistant coach had to say about taking on BYU in March Madness. Loaded headlines after this on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to your headlines.
2 days away from BYU and VCU in the NCAA tournament. VCU assistant coach Darius Theus joined Field of 68's Jeff Goodman to preview the first round game. He discussed what jumps off the tape when studying BYU.
Their willingness to share the ball. And when you watch them, it's like, are they playing fast? Well, how quick they get it out and get it up the court, right? Get you in scramble, one more to each other. It's actually good basketball if you're like watching it.
And hopefully VCU is from way down the court watching BYU go way up the court. We'll have live coverage from Denver starting tomorrow on BYU Sports Nation.
Speaking of BYU men's basketball, they stay at number 17 in the latest AP poll after going 1-1 in their Big 12 tournament run. This marks the highest BYU has been ranked entering the NCAA tournament since they were number 8.
Ooh,
back in 2011.
Good one.
More parallels.
Yegor Demon ranked number 9 overall prospect in the NBA draft by this among the players in this year's NCAA tournament by ESPN's Jonathan Givony and Jeremy Wu. Givony and Wu had Demon as the number 9 overall pick to the Blazers in their latest 2025 NBA mock draft last week.
BYU football starting week four of spring practices yesterday with a scrimmage. Head coach Kalani Sitake spoke to the media after practice and gave an update on where his team is through almost 3 weeks of practice.
Honestly, I think we're further ahead than we've been. That being said, there's still some room for improvement, but I really like the way the guys are working together, the team, the players, the coaches. We feel like it's going really, really nicely for us. I'm obviously going to grade the film and see how they perform, but, you know, just the overall, I thought it was good on both sides, on offense and defense.
BYU Sports Nation, as mentioned before, live in Dallas for the Big 12 Football Pro Days beginning tomorrow. We'll have a split live show with yours truly in Dallas and Jerem hanging out with men's basketball in Denver.
Number 6 men's volleyball beat Harvard in 4 sets last night at the Smithfield House. How about Luke Benson, Mix Romanus, Taylen Jonathan Tufunga combined for 46 kills, led BYU to the 4-set win. Up next, at number 14 Grand Canyon in a pair of MPSF matches beginning Friday.
And BYU baseball lost 10-3 to Utah Tech in Provo at Miller Park yesterday. The Cougars are 11-8 on the season. Up next for the Batcats, their Big 12 road opening series at Cincinnati, which begins on Thursday. We have, after the break, not one, not two, not even three, but four national champions back in studio. The newest distance medley relay team on the women's side joins us next. But before we go to break, we would love to express our thoughts and prayers to the family of Chad Bunn, longtime videographer at BYU, the Bunner, Cache Valley guy. We love him. We are so sad to learn that he passed away last night.
He was hired as the video coordinator for BYU Athletics in 1989. He did a great job for a long time, won many awards, was on many national boards and foundations for video coordination. He left a big impact on the number of players, coaches, and fans that he interacted with over time at BYU. He leaves behind his wife, Lori, and his two daughters, Michaela and Alicia.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. It's time to welcome in a quartet of national champions.
National champions in the house. Let's go.
Yep. Featuring the women's distance medley relay team.
Back to back, baby.
BYU women's track and field. Yes, back to back national champions. They are Jenna Hutchins, Sammy Oblad, Tessa Buswell, and Riley Chamberlain.
This is the order of the DMR. Zing, zing, zing.
Congratulate, you did it again. Holy cow. I mean, it's tough to do it once. It's even more difficult to do it again. So, Jenna, let's start with you. Back left, what does it mean to be a part of a back-to-back distance medley relay national championship squad?
Yeah, it was such an incredible experience, and I was super grateful to just toe the line with all of these women. I've actually never competed in the DMR before. This was my first time doing it, and so I just wanted to make sure that I was doing my job so each of these women could do their job. And I feel like I executed the race pretty well, got into a good position, and was able to hand it off in a good spot. So
you literally handed off to Sammy. Sammy, you were here a couple weeks ago, by the way, after setting, the 400 record, I think. You take it second. Walk us through your piece of this and then how you're feeling once you hand it off.
Yeah, like Jenna said, she put me in a great spot. I screwed up our handoff. anything that went wrong with the handoff was absolutely my fault. But I was able to run and run fast, which is a fun part of that. Sometimes in the distance races, it's a little different. That I'm sure these girls can say that there's a little more strategy to it. So it's fun that this time I was able to run hard and I got to pass a couple girls, which was really fun. It's always fun to do that. and then hand off to Tessa, and it was a nice, smooth handoff.
Tessa, as you're watching her run past
show debut, by the way, for Tessa.
Yes, Tessa, awesome. Yes, making her debut. What are you thinking when you watch Sammy run her leg, knowing that it's just you and Riley left to try and wrap this thing up?
I was really excited watching Sammy just going so fast, passing all those people. A little nervous for her handoff just because she was coming in so fast, but she gave it to me in a good spot, and I was able to run my leg pretty well and hand it to Riley in a good spot. So it was all really exciting and fun experience. So.
The anchor, you got to bring it home. And that's back-to-back, by the way, for you. Walk us through kind of your mentality, your emotions in that moment, knowing, hey, we could win again here. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, everyone did their job perfectly. So, like, watching that, I was like, okay, like, they all did their job perfect. I'm set up in a perfect spot. And so, like, I, like, looking at the gap, Oregon was a pretty decent ways ahead. And then Tessa handed it to me. I know Tessa wasn't exactly the happiest with her leg afterwards, but she handed it to me right behind the girl, Providence. And so, like, I got it right behind Providence, and I knew this girl just from, like, running, racing with her in the mile, and I knew she was quick, and she handed it to me, like, right behind her, and I was like, this is perfect. Like, she's going to drag me along, and we're going to catch Oregon, and it was just, it was perfect. I couldn't have, yeah, asked for a better squad.
Near the end, Diljit Taylor is yelling, and we don't have the audio, but we have the video. She is yelling, you are her.
You are her!
You guys refer to her as
you are the woman.
The woman?
Mm-hmm.
So she's yelling back to you, you are her. Can you hear her in this moment, Riley? Because she's going crazy. She said, she told me this morning, I look like a psychopath.
I love her energy. I never think of her as a psychopath. She just loves us so much, and it shows. Like, she watches us put in the work every day, and, like, she puts in so much work and effort into us, and just, like, seeing her reaction is so awesome.
By the way, that is a custom hoodie that she made that had pictures of Tom Homo, which is pretty cool. What did you guys see when you saw it, Sammy? That's a pretty cool hoodie.
I thought it was really cool. I commented on it there. So I've never seen a hoodie like that.
She said they FaceTimed him and he started crying. He got emotional.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool.
Fantastic.
I love Tom.
We love Tom. He's the best.
We all do. Yeah. We all have massive shoes to fill, no question, as the great athletic director moves on. We're with the national championship winning distance medley relay team. As we mentioned, it's back to back now for Riley and Sammy. You were on last year's DMR team that won. What does it mean? And this is a question for both of you. What does it mean to go back to back, like to be a part of both of those teams? Sammy, I'll start with you.
I think it had two things. Where the first one is, oh, there's a standard here. We've done it before, so we should be doing it again. But also the fun side of it of, oh, I'm so excited to try it again. So kind of the anxiety, but also the excitement of, oh, this is so fun, and we're going to do this again.
Yeah, kind of same as Sammy, just, like, super excited, knew it was possible to do it again, but, like, it's so hard to do. And we were going in a good spot, and I was very confident in the squad that we had. And it was a major deja vu moment for me, just, like, last year with, like, Carly and Sadie also being on there and, like, just remembering all the emotions of that and then being able to repeat it. It was so exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I love visiting with you guys every March now. You guys going to come
just
in after you win.
Just go and book it for next
year. It's awesome. There's so much momentum from the national championship in cross country and before that the Olympics and now, indoor, what you guys just did. How do you take that to outdoor, Jenna? Because you guys are on fire right now.
Yeah, I think it's really cool and we're able to build so much positive momentum, and I think it's really cool seeing just other teammates do incredible things as well. I feel like we can take a lot of positivity from our teammates' successes, so it's good to just stay hungry. I know we're all really happy about this national championship, but there's also always things that we can improve on and get better with, so I think we're excited to just continue to get better and bring more positive momentum into outdoor.
Tessa, quickly, what are you looking to improve as you push to the outdoor season?
Mm-hmm. Definitely just like with this being my freshman year, just getting experience and learning how to race at these like bigger meets under the pressure and obviously improving my time and stuff like that, but just also building with getting better with my teammates and yeah, just having a good time.
All right, we're still waiting for the hoodie with Jerem's face all over it.
So. No. I want the Tom one. I think that was the sweetest thing ever. That's great.
Congratulations to all four of you.
Nice work again.
Thanks for
coming in.
I mean, amazing, amazing. We're spoiled. Thanks for spoiling
us. Just book
us.
It. Second week, third week in March. Every year, the DMR,
spoiled.
They come in and win the natty.
Great stuff. All right, after the break, we'll put a bow on this Tuesday show before Jerem and I head to the airport, and we'll see you from Denver and Dallas.
Let's hope we get out.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. What does BYU men's basketball need to do in the NCAA tournament to validate their season? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from Cougs. Jazz Stan on X, who says, literally just win the first round game. Anything beyond that is icing on the cake.
Let's go.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
This was reported last week, but the official signing happened with the Miami Dolphins. Look at Zach Wilson. This looks Photoshopped. The lighting's almost too good with Hard Rock Stadium in the background there. Congrats to Zach hanging out in Miami.
I love that he's going to be with Daryl Bevel.
That's cool.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Great quarterbacks coach. Our thanks to today's guest, Sean Farnham. And, of course, the Distance Medley Relay National Championship team of BYU Women's Track and Field.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time. But we do have time to mention one more time, Nate's organic raw honey.
For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to Nathan Call.
Oh, really? We'll a Nathan? Really? After all that? A Nathan? A Nate? Really?